inside of me and took me way back into my history and kind of where I came from. And so I started to develop something, and I want to share that with you tonight. And I believe that God and His Word is going to intersect with the direction that your life is going. Amen. And that's my prayer for us tonight, that God would just intersect wherever we're going and would just kind of change our thinking a little bit. Amen. And so I just want to, I know we already did this, but I'm just really starting to get to know Brother Vic, and of course Brother David Meyer is here, and these are our godly leaders in this district, and I'm just so thankful for their transparency, and they've been great friends to me, and I know they've been great leaders in this district. Aren't you thankful for them? We can give them a hand clap tonight. Amen. They're great people, and we've already shared some interesting but nonetheless great experiences together on the road repairing vehicles. Amen. And of course, this beautiful church and this beautiful staff and Pastor Schumacher for hosting this Elevate Rally. We're thankful for that. Amen. Can we clap our hands about that? And I'm most excited that Jesus is here. Would you help me, and would you stand for the reading of the Word tonight? I just want to tell a couple stories, and I just want to give the Lord an opportunity to move. So would you open your hearts tonight? Would you open your minds? I'm not going to be all that long. And I just want us to give the Lord an opportunity to move in our lives. But if you have your Bibles or your phones or your iPads or whatever you have, the screen, Nehemiah chapter 4. We'll be going over to Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want us to begin reading at verse number 1 and verse number 2. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Amen. There we go. So you're going to have to help me out a little bit. My alarm went off at 3:45 a.m. to catch a flight out of Atlanta to get here. And so I got about couple Red Bulls running through my veins right now. So I just feel all this extra energy coming out. Amen. So Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, that he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Verse number 2, "And he spoke before his brethren and all the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day?'" Pay attention right here. "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Amen. I want to talk to you from this topic tonight. I will not come down. Would you turn to somebody and tell them you cannot afford to come down? Now say it one more time. I cannot come down. Amen. Would you help me pray one more time? Would you just ask the Lord to speak to you? Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence that's here and your power and your glory. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds, anoint our ears and our minds to hear your word. And God, I pray that you would just let your word intersect with the direction that our lives are headed tonight. And God, that you would move powerfully in this altar, Lord, in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time. Can we shout it? In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. Amen. I want to be transparent. I want to just tell a couple stories, and I want to just be a little bit clear tonight and transparent with you and just tell you a little bit about myself. I've met many of you and looking forward to meeting many others tonight. But my story starts a long time ago, and I can remember when I was about 12 years old or 13 years old, I was at a youth camp. And at this youth camp, I can't tell you what the preacher preached. Many of us got stories like that. But the Lord was moving in my life. And I remember coming to the altar, and I had tears streaming down my face. And I remember feeling God calling me into the ministry and just feeling that pull to take my life to the next level. And I was touched and I was moved and I was crying. Like I said, I can't remember what he preached about, but I just remember that moment in the altar. Does anybody have an experience like that? And where God is just moving and touching your life. And I'll never forget that. And that I left that youth camp just on a spiritual high. I went home and I started telling my friends about what God has done in my life and the calling that I felt him, that he was calling me to. But about a couple weeks later, I started slipping a little bit. That dream and that calling began to become distant to me. And as a young person, as a young adult, as a teenager, and I found myself living a double life. You say, what do you mean? I was heavily involved in church. I loved God. I was heavily involved in the music ministry and with the youth group and everything. But on Monday and Tuesday, I'd find myself talking to people that I shouldn't be talking to and hanging out with people I shouldn't be hanging out with. Friday nights, I found myself, if I wasn't at a youth group, then I was at some kind of event that I shouldn't have been at. And I realized that I was living this double life. And believe me, if anybody here knows how to repent, this guy knows how to repent. And repenting became very familiar to me because I would have a move of God in my life on Sunday and then would slip back into that old type of mentality. And I would begin to fail God and live that double life and just had to ask God to forgive me. But no matter how far I got away from God and no matter how long I was living that double life, I could always go back to that moment that I had in the altar at that youth camp. And I knew that was real. No matter how many times I failed, I knew that was real. Can anybody identify with that? It's hard sometimes. And so even going into my high school, I love golf, and I was a golfer, and kind of worked my way through high school, and towards the end of high school, I came to a crossroads, and that was I could pursue a scholarship with golf to Michigan State University, or I could pursue that calling that I felt as a 12-year-old boy at youth camp to evangelize. And it was a huge decision for me, but I remember just kind of sticking it out and say, I'm going to go to Gateway College of Evangelism, and I went there. But as I live life more and more, and I'm sure many of you can attest to this, that life is just full of distractions. Doesn't matter how old, right where you're at in your age group and your life and where you're at, life is full of distractions. You face dilemmas every single day when you go to school or work or wherever. You're going to face dilemmas. And how many can attest that you face disappointments in life? You're going to face disappointments in life, and you're going to get down. And so life, we know, is full of distractions and dilemmas and disappointments. And it almost seems, if I could just share it this way, that it almost seems that a lot of times life is just an active warring of my flesh against what my spirit wants to do. Sometimes it feels like I take two steps forward, and then I take three steps back. And so this is life as we know it, but no matter where you're at spiritually here tonight, I think we have this common ground, and that is we are a distracted group of people. Humanity is distracted. Let me share with you one of my pet peeves. This drives me nuts. Have you ever been talking with somebody and you're trying to share something with them? You're trying to talk to them, and all of a sudden you see their eyeballs go from your eye, and then they start looking around the room like they're not, and they're shaking their head, and you're thinking, you don't listen to a word I'm saying. I hate that, but that's who we are. We're a distracted group of people. Listen to this. LinkedIn launched in June 2003, and I'm not, of course, preaching against any of this stuff, but Facebook launched in 2004, YouTube in 2005, Twitter in 2006. Now we have Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, and all of these other mechanisms and apps that are pushing content across a world that now sends millions of texts per second. Since I've been preaching, some of y'all have been sending texts. Millions of texts per second going all around the world. We're a distracted group of people. I read this recently. It says, this was a study done to the by the National Center of Biotechnology. They said our average attention span for humanity went from 12 seconds in the year 2000 and has since dropped to 8 seconds. The average attention span of a human being is 8 seconds long. Now, check this out. The same group of scientists and doctors got together. I don't know how, but they began to study goldfish in the brain of a goldfish. And they found out somehow that the attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. For those of you that have already spaced out, that means a goldfish has a 1 second longer attention span than most of us. We're distracted. We're a distracted group of people. We have physical distractions. Let me name some. Your career path, entertainment, your friends. We face emotional distractions every single day. Health problems, family problems, relationship problems. But what about spiritual distractions? What about spiritual distractions? Have our lives, I'm going to ask you two questions. Have our lives gotten so busy that we have had to push God out of our life? Or could it be that we've allowed distractions, we've become so distracted that we've allowed these distractions to just draw us away from God a little bit? There's a difference. I don't think we've gotten so busy that we've had to push God out. But I do think that we have so many spiritual distractions that we allow ourselves to be drawn away from Him. In our story in Nehemiah, I'll just give a brief history. Nehemiah, in our story that we're reading, Jerusalem had been conquered by the Babylonians. And when the Babylonians conquered